Self-serve.
Self-serve. Okay, I guess $3.68.
Okay, I think it's already that at Exxon, but we're going to pop off. Thanks for listening. Coming up next is Peter B. Collins Show right after the CBS News. Have a great Tuesday.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Lines of thunderstorms build and spread across the weather maps in the east and now from Boston to Atlanta, Tampa, and out to Dallas and Denver. There are ground delays. CBS's Harvey Nagler was caught in one of them at LaGuardia.
We've been told that the flights are going to go in a half hour and an hour, and then every time they say they're going to go, the flight gets postponed.
Well, it'll have a ripple effect and probably take a while for it to clear out, even if the weather clears out right now. So I think, people that have to take flights tonight should probably call their carriers in advance to make sure their flight is taking off on time, because there could be delays for most of the evening.
Steve Coleman at New York and New Jersey's Port Authority, where delays have already run up to 4 hours for some travelers, and the dominoes continue to tumble. President Bush met with Senate Republicans opposed to immigration reform today and struck out.
I believe without the bill, it's going to be harder to enforce the border. The status quo is unacceptable.
Pushing hard against a rope. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says come back when you've got the votes. When you have a heart attack, it still helps to be white for treatment, though the reasons are not fully understood.
In an exhaustive review covering more than 1.2 million Medicare patients, it was found that blacks were far less likely than whites to receive specialized care for heart attacks. What kind of treatment are we talking about here? Blood vessel opening surgery such as angioplasty, often considered crucial after serious heart attacks. This study in the Journal of the American Medical Association says after 1 year, blacks had higher mortality rates.
CBS's Barry Bagnato is in Washington. Funeral services for Kelsey Smith in Leawood, Kansas. She's the 18-year-old girl who was kidnapped and murdered earlier this month. Her family called it a celebration of her young life. Kelsey's mother, Missy.
Mainly Kelsey loved. She loved her friends and family with a passion. She has taught many what it was like to be loved.
The murder suspect is in jail. The U.S. government has added 7 nations to the blacklist for human trafficking. Estimated at 800,000 people per year. 80% are female, mostly children, forced labor, forced prostitution. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
More and more countries are coming to see human trafficking for what it is, a modern-day form of slavery.
Among the U.S. allies added to the blacklist are Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, and Qatar. This little beep turns on the astronaut's adrenaline pump. It's the fire alarm at the International Space Station. Someone, please smack the computer. It was not a fire. It was a software glitch. University of Washington physicist John Kramer is asking and getting private money for his research into time travel, $35,000 and counting, to continue studying non-local quantum communication, which is kind of what happens when your mom calls to yell at you for something you didn't do yet. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 130 points today. The Nasdaq was off about 22. Oil prices, $65.28 a barrel, down 69 cents. This is CBS News.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy, what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
I'm a jockey, and when I'm racing, I can't let my allergy medicine put me in a fog. So I only ride Claritin Clear. Claritin works hard to relieve my worst allergy symptoms. Sneezing, runny nose, for a full 24 hours. It works so well, only Claritin has proven to make me alert and focused. Not drowsy, like some other medicines can. When I get allergy relief and stay razor sharp, I'm ahead from start to finish. Stay alert, stay focused, live Claritin Clear.
User directed, only brand clinically tested.
A great many prison-bound convicts are usually able to remain free pending their appeals. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis on Scooter Libby's efforts to stay out while he appeals his 30-month sentence in the CIA leak case.
At last week's sentencing, Judge Reggie Walton indicated he will not delay sending Libby to prison to serve his 30-month sentence. And typically that happens in the 45- to 60-day range. Both sides have filed briefs. Libby's team argues he should remain free until his appeals are exhausted, while the government argues there should be no delay.
39 bank robberies to net about $1 million. That's a lot of exposure split two ways. The string ran out for Rafael Rondon and the so-called Band-Aid Bandit and his sidekick after 6 years of bank holdups on Florida's West Coast. He wore a Band-Aid to hide a mole, hence the nickname. Both men faced more than 100 years at sentencing on June 29th, and the judge ordered guns, cash, even bank accounts seized to get the money back. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy, what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
Your name means a lot to you, but in the wrong hands, it can mean more to someone else. With Wachovia, if your identity is ever stolen, dedicated fraud specialists will work with you one-on-one to help recover any lost funds. And they'll stick with you until your identity is restored. Protecting your good name. Another feature of Wachovia Free Checking. Stop by, call 800-WACHOVIA or visit wachovia.com. Are you with Wachovia?
Free checking is for personal accounts only. Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. members FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, we're here in San Francisco at the epicenter of illegal wiretapping and email interception. Something we're not so proud of, I'll tell you that. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We've got 3 hours, and we're going to jam it up with powerful information, knowledgeable people, and your phone calls, too. In our first hour, we're going to talk to one of my attorneys. Carl Mayer represents me in a class action suit against the National Security Agency and the phone companies who colluded, collaborated, and permitted the interception of millions of phone calls and emails, we think. Also on today's program, Ari Melber from The Nation, a great reporter, returns to our program. We're going to talk about the issues of habeas corpus that were eviscerated by the so-called Military Commissions Act that was passed last October and signed by the president. He just had to have that before the election. And the Senate is now working to undo parts of that bad legislation, and it's not enough for me. We'll talk with Ari Melber about that, and Ari also wrote a piece critical of MoveOn.org for not supporting efforts to roll back the draconian Military Commissions Act, so we'll air that out coming up next hour. Also, as usual today, Jason Leopold joins us from TruthOut.org. He did another video package that you can find at TruthOut. An interview with another one of the U.S. attorneys who lost his gig due to the political interference there at the Justice Department, John McKay of Seattle. We'll talk about that interview and also about another story that Jason has posted about anti-Semitism promoted by Christian pastors ministering to soldiers at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Melanie Sloan will join us as usual to kick off the Free Speech Zone today and talk about her work to clean up the ethics problems in Washington. She's working about nonstop 7 days a week. And an interesting report came out of Scott Block in the White House Office of Professional Conduct, I think it's called. And he really lambasted one of his colleagues. We'll see if he applies the same approach to the investigation he's conducting on behalf of David Iglesias, another one of those fired U.S. attorneys. So that's all coming up today, plus lots of room for your phone calls, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our number. And at the outset, I should say that all calls to this program are subject to intercept by AT&T and the National Security Agency. And before we begin our broadcast today officially, we'd like to say hello and tip a hat to our personal minder, Benny, who is somewhere in the bowels of the NSA with a pair of headsets or earbuds and has to listen to this show all day long. My apologies to Benny. But here's the annoying sound we like to blast him with once in a while. Carl Mayer is an attorney based in Princeton, New Jersey. We've talked with him many times before, and yesterday I had a chance to meet over a cup of tea around the corner at Muffin Mania. Carl, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for picking up the tab yesterday, and it was fun fun to sit down and chat with you and get acquainted.
It was great. And thank you very much not only for having me on, but for all the work you've done over the years. It's really great to have a veteran public interest activist and raconteur helping to spread the word with citizens all over the United States, from coast to coast,
well,
like butter and toast.
Carl, I'm happy to accept your kind words, but for me, this is a kind of vigilance that was born out of the misdeeds of J. Edgar Hoover and our FBI in the late 60s, early 70s. As you and I discussed yesterday, you went to the University of Chicago a few years after I left the Windy City.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there at a time of police state activity when there was an attack on a Black Panther group by the FBI and local law enforcement officials. And it was a fundamental violation of constitutional rights. It was based on a well-paid informant who had infiltrated the group. And many of these same tactics are being used today as part of this so-called war on terror. And we have seen the erosion of our civil liberties as Americans, not when we make a phone call to Osama, but when we make a phone call to our own mama.
That's right. Well, I hope we're going to have some music from Roy Zimmerman, his Hello NSA song. I don't know if you'll be able to work that into the program.
We do take requests here, Carl, and that will be coming up.
This is a request.
It's a request, and we'll take it. We'll fill that coming up.
Thank you. And actually, you know what? I've been doing, I guess, public interest law and public interest work for maybe 30 years. So over this time, I've gotten to know a number of activists and progressive people that are in your listenership area, and mm-hmm. you really serve as an anchor for progressive America. And we were discussing yesterday when I came to visit you that there are some terrific public interest activists and attorneys, authors, speakers in the listening within your listening area. That mm-hmm. if I could take a minute, maybe just to shout out to a couple of them, and I think I'd love to help the program get them on as guests.
Well, excellent.
There are people that I've met in the battles over the years, and
go ahead.
You didn't even know that Eric Schlosser, who wrote Fast Food Nation, is right in the Monterey area, and would be a great guest to have on. I think I'm going to see him later this week and going to try to encourage that.
Carl, where will you take him? Burger King or Wendy's?
No, I think I'm essentially a vegetarian, and I think Eric is too. So
uh-huh.
we'll find something.
Well, then
find something appropriate.
I recommend Castroville because the artichokes are just they're better there than anywhere else in the world.
All right, that's a great recommendation.
All right, and who else did you want to mention?
There's a woman named Darby Worth. I want to give a shout out to them. She was they gave her an award on the Monterey Peninsula for being the Citizen of the Year. She's a former United flight attendant, but once she retired, she's devoted herself to full-time activism. She's 80 years old, and any time there's an anti-war protest, a protest in the Monterey Peninsula area over our civil liberties being violated,
mm-hmm.
Darby Worth is leading the charge, and one of her sidekicks is a gentleman named Bill Stewart, who's going to turn 90 years old. He used to head up the ACLU in the Monterey area.
Wow.
So it's a real inspiration to me to see the elderly people exercising their civic skills well beyond retirement age, and I think that's what the country needs more of. There also, I know you go all the way up to Eureka. There is an old professor of mine, and He knew my father for many years, who's a professor. He's probably the leading democratic theorist in the United States of America. His name is Sheldon Wolin. He wrote a book called Politics, The Politics of Vision, which is probably the leading mm-hmm. sort of theory of the practice of democracy. And he's up in Eureka, and he would be a terrific guest on the show. And I'm going to try to...
I believe he's been on before. I certainly recognize his
name. Oh, has he been
name.
On? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, so do we have the entire Carl Mayer fan club identified here on the West Coast?
Well, I'm fans of these people, so, you know, you can throw in my mom and my wife, Karen, too. But
okay, great.
Yeah, we have the whole fan club on board.
All right. Carl Mayer is here. He is an attorney from Princeton, New Jersey, and he came out to the West Coast for some business and some fun. He's in Monterey to enjoy himself for a couple of days. And, Carl, let's get down to business.
All right. Let's
talk about the class action suit that you are leading the plaintiff's attorneys on related to the NSA spying cases that we know about. I stipulate for this discussion that we're going to talk about what we do know, but we're also going to acknowledge that there's a lot we don't know.
Yes, that's correct. Well, the first thing I should say is our firm brought the first case against Verizon and the NSA for engaging in the wiretapping and the monitoring of all domestic phone calls using computer databases and softwares that can identify calling patterns of individuals mm-hmm. in order to determine supposedly whether these people are involved in terrorism. Since we brought that action, there have been many others filed. All of these cases were consolidated before Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco. And the ACLU has been involved from the beginning. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, also out of San Francisco, mm-hmm. has been involved. And these people are really, they're real patriots and have led the fight in protecting civil liberties. But the stakes could not, in my judgment, be higher in this litigation, because the outcome really determines who we are as a nation. We can't hold out to the world that we are a democracy, a constitutional democracy, and then at the same time use the tactics of domestic spying and using the foreign intelligence apparatus to monitor our own citizens, when those are tactics used by dictatorships and authoritarian regimes. And we cannot hold out to the world the promise of democracy and act in this manner. And mm-hmm. these lawsuits will determine, I believe, whether our constitutional democracy is vibrant and can survive, or whether we are sliding into an authoritarian direction for the United States. And it's very serious. So authoritarianism always begins this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very concerned about the police state tactics that this represents. And more significantly, Carl Mayer, I am concerned about the passive way Americans have accepted this. We're all subject to this kind of monitoring and interception, and there are just too many lemmings who say, well, I don't have anything to hide. Why should I be worried about my constitutional rights? If I don't need to exercise them, why would I be worried? Well, we'll pick up there as we continue. There's a lot to talk about, and Attorney Carl Mayer is with us this entire hour. So if you have a question or comment, there's plenty of room for your call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And Benny, if you want to call in from the NSA on your, take a smoke break, grab your cell phone, check in with us, all right? I'm Peter B. Collins.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff, Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Oceans 18, finally a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this black light golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium and the American Tin Cannery. Oceans 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Oceans 18 opens at 12. Stays open late every day. Ocean's 18 Miniature Golf.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
The Collins Show. Carl Mayer, attorney, is with us, fighting the NSA.
Hello, NSA. I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you.
Oh, they're listening. Transcribing in so many cases at no extra charge.
Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone. Cause you're out there with your headphones and you really listen.
We love you, Benny. And you listen carefully, I know.
Now hush. Don't say a word.
I just called you.
It's enough to know
to say
my words are being heard. And we're fighting freedom here at home. So we don't have to fight it. Sense.
my brother or even my mama.
My mama.
But when they're on the line, I know you hear me one. Take that, Osama.
To the Obama campaign, which may be answered by the Osama team. Be careful. So that's Roy Zimmerman. Hello, NSA. We played that by request for Carl Mayer. He's our guest. And, Carl.
Thank you, Peter, for honoring my request. That's fantastic.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a great
We want
time.
To make Roy Zimmerman the NSA song, the official song of the Mayer Law Group. We'll have to talk to him about how to do that.
All right, he's going to be here in studio next Wednesday.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's a week from tomorrow in the first hour of the program. So I'll negotiate, and can I pick up a commission or some fat?
Absolutely.
Some fat legal fees?
Absolutely. we're putting you on retainer.
Okay. Now, Carl, tell us in your opinion why the government, the Bush administration specifically, found the FISA law to be so onerous that they had to go around it and intentionally break the law, even though they got Ashcroft, or they attempted to get him to certify it from his hospital sickbed. It's very clear they knew they were skirting, if not breaking, the law, and yet this program has been reauthorized at least a dozen times, and they maintain that the FISA law, which to my reading is one of the most generous laws to the government we've ever seen, was too onerous or too cumbersome for them to comply.
Well, it's simply a pretext. Even the Justice Department of this administration is run by political animals who do not understand the spirit and importance of the Constitution, that are trampling on the rights of Americans. To review, the FISA law is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was passed in 1978 in response to the abuses of the Nixon administration, which had turned the CIA and the foreign intelligence gathering apparatus on domestic citizens. And that's where they compiled their enemies list. They monitored in something called Operation Shamrock. They monitored all of the telegrams coming into the United States from overseas, and they monitored all of the mail and telegram communications of Vietnam veterans against the war. It was an absolute abuse of executive power. Congress reined in that power by passing FISA, and it provides the most modest oversight, as you said, and the essence of the oversight is that a judge must review an application to monitor phone conversations or other communications that are between the United States and overseas.
And if it's not convenient, they can even get it after the fact. They can tap first and get a warrant within 72 hours.
That's right. They can tap first, get a warrant within 72 hours, and in the last 5 years, only in five instances has the FISA court denied the warrant out of over 9,000 applications.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a no-brainer that they should be upholding not only the statute but the Constitution by complying with this. So what occurred is we suspect is that after 9/11. Cheney and company said, to hell with the law, to hell with the Congress, we're asserting executive privilege to the max, and we're just going to ignore FISA, and we're going to establish a dragnet on the phone calls of all Americans and monitor them.
And Carl, we got to stop for a break here.
Yeah.
We'll pick up right afterward.
No problem.
And that's where I want to ask a little bit further about the FISA law and the practices of this administration. If you have a question or a comment for Attorney Carl Mayer, he's with us for another half hour. Get on the line now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver, and today I've got a really important subject to talk about. This may surprise you, but it's not about politics, it's not about my perspective or my ideas. It's about what makes it possible for me to share my opinions with you every day. I'm talking about advertising. advertisers. Unfortunately, it costs a lot of money to own a radio station and keep it up and running. For those of us that have radio programs on KRXA, we're able to be here because of the support of local advertisers. So, what's my point? If you're a local business and you like hearing what I have to say each day, even if you don't like what I have to say, but you support free speech, call the station and offer to sponsor this spot. Maybe you like Billy Sunshine's show on the weekend, or you listen to Hal and Coach every afternoon. If you like progressive radio, then become an advertising sponsor. And together, we can point out the hypocrisy of the right and continue to share the views from the left. This has been Todd the Taxi Driver.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I can't find nothing on the radio. Y'all turn to that station.
Yeah, you found it. The Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Continue our conversation with attorney Carl Mayer. He's from New Jersey, Princeton to be precise, and he is leading the charge on a class action suit that has been combined with others challenging the Bush administration on what is politely euphemized as warrantless wiretapping. And let's be explicit about it. If it's warrantless, it is illegal. And the corporate media in this country dances around that. And the politicians of both parties have been just way too polite about this open lawbreaking by the Bush administration. And Carl is fighting hard to bring these issues into federal court. And Carl, let's finish our conversation about the FISA law, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978. And we had this little feint from Alberto Gonzalez before the U.S. Attorney's flap went into high gear, where he told the Senate Judiciary Committee, or no, the Intelligence Committee, back in January, that he had found a way to conduct the warrantless wiretapping with the cooperation and approval of the FISA court. And then a little bit later he said, well, maybe not. So this is a kind of whipsaw effect, but it's very confusing. And as you and I were talking over a cup of tea yesterday, my theory is that they know that this effort does not comport with the Fourth Amendment, which requires probable cause for this kind of an intrusive search. That's what it is. They're not breaking into my house to read my mail. They're doing it electronically.
That's right. Well, this isn't. That's not the only time that the Attorney General has misled the public and the Congress. He misled the public and the Congress about his role in the firing of U.S. attorneys for political reasons. Mm-hmm. I think this Attorney General will go down as perhaps the most inept Attorney General in the history of the country, and there's been some very stiff competition for that.
Well, I wish he would go down quietly, because he's lingering there and just won't let go of the job. He's clearly going to get bounced, but he and the president think that they can sweat this out.
Well, it's astounding that in the vote last night, the no confidence vote, which didn't prevail, and it was not the Senate's finest hour, but five Republicans have already come out for Gonzalez's resignation,
mm-hmm.
and only one Republican took to the floor of the United States Senate last night to defend Alberto Gonzalez. So that gives you a measure of the seriousness with which even Republicans regard this issue. And incidentally, this entire wiretapping issue is not this is not a left or right issue. This is an American issue. There are as many Republicans outraged about this as there are Democrats or progressives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, former Congressman Bob Barr,
yep.
And Paul Weyrich of the American Conservative Union are outraged. And getting back to your point, you're absolutely right. It goes this illegal dragnet, this illegal spying on all Americans, goes beyond just a statutory violation. It is a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution and the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And just to review, the First Amendment to the Constitution was created to forever stop what the British were doing to the American colonists, which was destroying their right to speak freely. And the Fourth Amendment was passed and created in order to stop what the British were doing, which was kicking down the homes of the American colonists, breaking in and seizing their papers and possessions. And Judge Anna Diggs Taylor of District Court in Ohio, in another case that the ACLU brought, said plainly in her opinion, there are no hereditary kings in the United States, and plainly, even the wiretapping of American citizens calling overseas without a warrant, without going to the FISA court, is unconstitutional under the First and Fourth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So these are serious constitutional transgressions, and frankly, I think that the Democrats instead of putting forth a fairly milquetoast, no confidence vote that doesn't mean anything, they should be going for impeachment.
I agree.
These are serious constitutional violations.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree wholeheartedly. They shouldn't have wasted time on the no confidence vote. So tell us a little bit more about the court proceedings, and you expect this to be run up to the Ninth Court of Appeals, the Ninth District here in San Francisco, sometime in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bush administration has lost it at every turn. They lost the warrantless wiretapping case, as I mentioned, in front of Judge Taylor in Ohio. That involved the overseas calls. That's going up to the Sixth Circuit. Judge Taylor is a Democratic judge appointed by President Carter. Our consolidated cases are before Judge Vaughn Walker, who is a Republican appointee, in fact, related to Herbert Walker Bush, hence the name Walker. He rejected the government's motions to dismiss this case. The government came in like gangbusters, moved before Judge Walker to dismiss the case using the state secrets privilege, which says that the entire case must be thrown out because to even go further with the case and to hear it would endanger state secrets, which is what authoritarians always do. They always try to blanket with state secrets or some sort of claim of executive privilege what it is they're doing. And Carl Walker, the conservative Republican judge, dismissed their argument, and it will be going up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Arguments should be held in August, and we expect a ruling sometime after that. Ultimately, I think the Supreme Court of the United States is going to have to decide this.
And Carl Mayer, give us a little law school briefing here on state secret privilege. As I understand, this is not based on law, simply based on a precedent, a series of claims dating back to the 1800s of presidents who claimed basically as commander-in-chief and in their basic authority under the Constitution that they had an obligation to protect state secrets. And the Bush administration has invoked this more times in the last 5 years than it was in the preceding 100 years.
That's right. And the privilege isn't found in the Constitution. It's not found in statute. It's part of the broad assertion of executive power that this administration has specialized in. And what the privilege says is that if some judicial proceeding would endanger national security by exposing government secrets, that proceeding must be shut down. The problem is that the administration seems not to understand that there is a separation of powers that was created by the founding fathers and forever enshrined in the Constitution. And once Congress asserts its own power by, for example, passing the FISA law and passing a law that sets up procedures that will constrain executive power or provide oversight of executive power by involving not only Congress and the executive branch, that is exactly how the framers of the Constitution envisioned our government would work. Both the Congress and the judiciary would act as backstops to ensure that our presidency would not turn into a monarchy. And that is the battle that will be before the Ninth Circuit and ultimately before the Supreme Court. And I think the argument really hinges on the government's assertion that its state secrets privilege can trump whatever Congress does. And I think that would be a very dangerous removal of congressional power.
Well, and this administration has made incredible gropes into previously forbidden territory in terms of claiming expansive powers for itself while also adhering to great secrecy and confidentiality, privacy. While violating our privacy and busting into our confidential phone calls and emails, again, without probable cause. And one of the arguments that I have heard put forward by the government is that the authorization to use military force against Iraq and also the legislation that was passed, not the Patriot Act, but the enabling legislation after 9/11 to go after the perpetrators, which was used as the authorization to go into Afghanistan. The administration claims that, we're allowed to take military action against al-Qaeda, so certainly we can deduce that this gives us the authority to tap phone calls that might be related to al-Qaeda. And Tom Daschle, who was the Senate Majority Leader at the time, explicitly took out language that was much more sweeping from the Afghanistan legislation. And he has, repeatedly claimed in the aftermath that he explicitly denied them the powers that they now claim.
Yes. Right. And yet they still seek to assert it. They're willing to bring this all the way to the Supreme Court. They're, despite the fact that whistleblowers in their own administration, James Comey and others have come forward and said that some of this activity was done without authorization, without the Justice Department certification that would be necessary under the Act. It really is a tremendous devolution of the Justice Department and a devolution of the executive branch in government. You know, and Tom Daschle was correct to remove that from the legislation, but I think the Democrats could do a great deal more to stand up to this to these claims of executive power.
Well, you're absolutely right. And one of the problems is our senior senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, who too often votes with the Republicans and thinks like them. And she has offered compromises to try to paper over this intentional lawbreaking by the Bush administration. Say, I think we can get this through the FISA court. And I feel like she was collaborating or almost conspiring with Gonzalez to find a way to legalize their intentional and ongoing lawbreaking, Carl.
Yeah. If anything, what the Democrats should be doing is they need to be updating the FISA law. They need a new FISA law. Now that they have control of the Congress, they need to use their subpoena power to find out exactly what took place in this what the Bush administration calls warrantless wiretapping, but what we call a dragnet and spying on all Americans. It's really not clear how they did it. It's not clear what the involvement of the phone companies was, and they need to change this law to modernize it and explicitly forbid this type of collaboration with the phone companies.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little more in the next segment. Let's take a quick call. Dave is on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the program, and say hello to Carl Mayer.
Hey, Peter, and hello there, Carl.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Pretty fair. I called on a slightly different subject, but as coincidence would have it, I'm your guy. Been having these high-tech Fed goon hackers assigned to me 24/7 now for several years. They don't make much of an effort to conceal that they're there. I guess you've got already plenty of evidence. You've been winning your case.
But now hold on, Dave, because you're in a different orbit, actually. And Carl, I've known Dave for many years now, and he's a very loyal listener and a frequent caller to the program. He and I have exchanged emails on many occasions, and he has told me, and I have seen evidence that supports his contention, that people have hacked into his email accounts, and at one point they even changed the name on his account. And he believes, and I think his suspicions are well-grounded, that some external force, and potentially it's the FBI, has been, for some reason, actively monitoring, not just passively collecting, data from his phone calls and emails, but more actively interfering in a kind of counterintelligence way.
And I have no terrorist connections, no Al-Qaeda. I just expose government and corporate corruption, and that's worse for them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Eureka connection up here, Carl?
Do I have any Eureka connection?
Somebody could sit down on my computer and get to know these goons in short order.
Well, have you talked to or reached out to Paul Cienfuegos up there? He's from Democracy United of Humboldt County. I think he's based in Eureka. He's an attorney himself, and he would be perfect for this issue. I'm going to give you my office number, Dave. And actually, I'd like to be a resource for the show, Peter, and the listeners. So let me give you my office number. You can call and leave a message. Have some patience. It'll take a while to get back. It's 212-382-4686. 212-382-4686. The website that we have is newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com. That's newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com. Send me your evidence. So we'll try to look into it and see if there's anything that our expertise could bring to bear. One of the virtues of bringing this litigation is we have had whistleblowers come to us with information about the transgressions by the phone companies and by the Bush administration. So we'd love to take a look at it.
I'd love to have you take a look at it.
Great, Dave. I'm late for a break here, so thanks for calling, and we'll pass on your other question, but I'll pass it along to Carl, okay, off the air. Thank you very much. And we'll return in just a moment with Carl Mayer. If you have a question or comment, there's room for another caller or two before the end of the hour. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
It's not a coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
Humming machinery. I've never seen so many knobs. We're going to have to do something, Charlie. Try pushing that button now.
This was recorded at the NSA.
How about that one? No, not that one either. I know. I'll try pushing this one. Put my hat, would you? That's a good fella.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Attorney Carl Mayer, who is fronting a class action suit that's been consolidated with others before Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco. Among other things, they've challenged the phone companies and the National Security Agency for the illegal, known in the media as warrantless wiretapping, but the clearly illegal interception of telephone and email communications by the government with the complicity of the phone companies. And, Carl, you started to touch on this a couple of minutes ago, and I wanted to expand a little bit. What is the relationship between the government and the phone companies? Were they compelled to allow this interception of our traffic, both voice and data? Or did they comply willingly? Have they violated their own privacy policies to customers like me? Exactly how does this work?
Yeah, well, they were asked, and they they didn't have to do it. They could have protected their customers' privacy and upheld their own privacy policies and upheld their statutory obligations to their customers. They chose not to. We know that because the chairman and CEO of Quest Communications, Joe Nacho, specifically refused. He said to the government, "Well, listen, do you have a certification from the Attorney General that would authorize this?" Government said no, and he said no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't turn over Quest records. And on top of that, there are other phone companies like Working Assets, which is based in San Francisco, that does not turn over company records for this program. So
right, but Working Assets is a Sprint reseller, and Sprint has cooperated with the government.
That's true.
So Working Assets hasn't turned over records that they control,
right,
but they cannot prevent the government from intercepting web or voice traffic on the circuits that they lease from Sprint.
Right. Well, for your listeners, you should always assume, and I've talked to technicians about this, any conversation or any Internet communication is subject to monitoring by the government.
Mm-hmm.
However, there was definitely willing cooperation by AT&T and by Verizon over these NSA warrantless wiretaps and domestic spying. Those two companies willingly participated. Even their statements are half denials or non-denials. And we've had whistleblowers, in fact, come to us, for example, in the case of AT&T, tell us that even before 9/11, AT&T was working with the NSA to create a database that could monitor the calls of all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had another whistleblower come forward from Verizon who indicated to us that they have the capacity to monitor all Internet packets and communications over the Internet. And they, in fact, do that, and there's very little supervision over what they do.
Now, Carl, just about 2 minutes remaining. When we met yesterday, you told me something that floored me, and that is we were talking indirectly about corporations and the claim of corporate personhood.
Yes.
And you told me that Verizon, in this case, responded to your suit by saying that as a corporate person, their First Amendment rights were subject to violation by your lawsuit. Do I have that right?
That's right. One of the most damaging developments to our democracy is the fact that corporations increasingly have claimed before the courts and have been awarded the same constitutional protections that you and I have, even though the Constitution never mentions corporations. So corporations assert a First Amendment right to speak. They assert Fourth Amendment rights not to have, say, surprise inspections of their factories. And what Verizon has put forth in a brief to the Ninth Circuit, which will be heard shortly, is their claim that the First Amendment protects them whenever they turn over customer records to the government, to the NSA, to any governmental entity, and that's their right to speak, no matter what laws Congress passes.
Wow, and it's so irrational. It tortures the concept that I have no First Amendment rights protected by a phone company like Verizon, but their rights trump mine when they collaborate with the government on an illegal scheme?
That's their claim. It's astounding. Their lawyers should be ashamed of themselves. They're getting paid $1,000 an hour to make these arguments, and it is astounding to me that they can make this argument with a straight face. I don't think that argument is going to fly. One never knows with this Supreme Court, but it is indicative of the lengths to which corporations will go to subvert our democracy, and it should serve as an alarm bell for people to get more involved, to pick up the phone and tell their Democratic representatives to stop playing it soft on this issue and get tough on this issue.
Carl, the hour has whizzed by. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your work, and thanks for representing me and thousands of other Americans.
Loved it, Peter. Thank you. Appreciate
Carl
it.
Carl Mayer will repeat his web address next hour. I'm Peter B. Collins.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Bill Whitney. The immigration bill stalled in the Senate while the president was in Europe. On his first day back, he went straight to Capitol Hill in an effort to get it moving again. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
President Bush, who's always found more support from Democrats than Republicans on immigration, spent an hour in a private lunch with Senate Republicans trying to get them to help resurrect the bill they killed last week.
Now's the time to move a comprehensive bill that enforces our borders and has good workplace enforcement.
The measure also provides legal status for illegal immigrants, which is why many Republicans, including Jeff Sessions of Alabama, oppose it.
It's fundamentally flawed.
It's not clear if the president changed any minds, but Democratic leader Harry Reid says it's up to him.
The Republican senators to this point have not shown they want to support the president's immigration bill. I hope they do.
Only then, says Reid, will he bring the bill back to the floor. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now this.
Sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, and Lou Gehrig's disease combined. Did you know that Parkinson's disease affects not only the elderly, but even people in their 30s and 40s? And this figure is rising at an alarming rate. This is a devastating neurological disorder. It shatters the dignity of its victims and cripples their bodies until it slowly, cruelly destroys their lives. I know my father was one of its victims. There's no cure, but there is hope. The American Parkinson Disease Association works tirelessly to ease the burden and find the cure through medical research, patient and family support, and education. If you or someone close to you has Parkinson's and needs help or information, please call the American Parkinson Disease Association at 1-800-223-2732. That's 1-800-223-2732.
You've had a heart attack. The treatment you get might depend on whether you're black or white. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Healthcare is not colorblind, according to a disturbing study in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
We were able to document significant and persistent differences in treatment for heart attack for black and white patients.
University of Iowa researcher Ioana Popescu found African-American heart patients on Medicare were 30% less likely to receive specialized surgery and had higher mortality rates a year later. Discrimination is a concern, but University of Chicago cardiologist Kim Allen Williams also believes some blacks may not aggressively seek proper care.
There's a distrust of the system going back historically.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
All charges against those three Duke lacrosse players have been dropped for lack of evidence, but the case isn't over for Mike Nifong, the district attorney in Durham County, North Carolina. He's charged with misconduct. At a hearing today, Catherine Jean of the state bar said Nifong's public comments about the alleged rape of a stripper were devastating to the three young men and their families.
He said that he was personally appalled by the conduct that had been displayed here. He said this was the worst thing that had happened in Durham since he became the district attorney. He compared it to a quadruple homicide and to multiple cross burnings.
David Freeman is Nifong's attorney.
You look at the man, you look at his career, you look at what he had on his plate when he was handling this case. They talk about political gain. I contend to you there's nothing political about Mike Nifong.
He was running for re-election at the time. If he's found to have violated the state's rules of professional conduct, he could be disbarred. A man who worked as a respiratory therapist at a San Diego hospital has pleaded guilty to charges he molested brain-damaged children. Prosecutor Laura Gunn says Wayne Albert Blyle chose his victims carefully.
They were children who, for the most part, were completely nonverbal and whose brain damage was such that they weren't able to speak or tell on him.
Blyle is 55. His plea agreement calls for a sentence of more than 45 years in prison. It's deja vu at some East Coast airports where passengers endured long delays last Friday. Steve Coleman is spokesman for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey.
We have delays at all three of our major airports that range anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. And the delays are due primarily to the thunderstorms that have been in the region for the majority of this afternoon.
Hundreds of flights have been canceled, and the storms are expected to continue through the night. There are similar weather-related problems at airports in South Florida, also due to thunderstorms. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'm Lynn Redgrave. Did you know that more people suffer from Parkinson's disease than multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, and Lou Gehrig's disease combined? Did you know that Parkinson's disease affects not only the elderly, but even people in their 30s and 40s? And this figure is rising at an alarming rate. This is a devastating neurological disorder. It shatters the dignity of its victims and cripples their bodies until it slowly, cruelly destroys their lives. I know my father was one of its victims. There's no cure, but there is hope. The American Parkinson Disease Association works tirelessly to ease the burden and find the cure through medical research, patient and family support, and education. If you or someone close to you has Parkinson's and needs help or information, please call the American Parkinson Disease Association at 1-800-223-2732. That's 1-800-223-2732.
Kids playing with matches. Authorities in Pittsburgh.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, Jason Leopold returns. He's got another interview with one of the fired U.S. attorneys from the Bush administration. This one is McKay from Seattle, and some interesting comments from him. Also, Jason's got a story up about anti-Semitism by Christians at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. We'll touch on that, too, coming up. But first, we're going to talk about the battle in Congress to reform the habeas corpus laws.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. In Bahamas, Wall Street crime will never send it to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas, the F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a pop and pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you?
Don't worry about the torture. It's being done offshore at Guantanamo or Bagram or in Romania or Poland. You don't have to worry, really. It's okay. Bush will tell you if it's a problem. That's Michael Fronte and Spearhead. And before we start a conversation with Ari Melber, I just want to repeat the information from our guest last hour. We ran out of time at the end with Carl Mayer. He's the attorney who is representing plaintiffs in the class action suit against the NSA regarding the illegal wiretapping and intercept of emails. And his web address is newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com. That's New Jersey Untouchables for all you Soprano fans at Blogspot. It's not at. newjerseyuntouchables.blogspot.com. And his phone number in New York, 212-382-4686. We'll post this at peterbcollins.com. The number again, 212-382-4686. Ari Melber joins us. He writes for The Nation. Hello, Ari. Nice to talk with you again.
Good to be here. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're working on some of the critical issues that should be front and center in Washington. The NSA issues, in my view, have been kind of swept aside by the Democrats, who are properly focusing on trying to reform the worst elements of the Military Commissions Act from last year and restore habeas corpus as a fundamental right of an American or a detainee held by Americans. These issues combine to show the outlines of police state activities and huge violations of our Constitution. So I have great concern about them, Ari.
Yeah, and it's coming at a time where many people are rightly disappointed and frustrated with the new congressional majority that the Democrats have, as well as Congress in general, particularly on Iraq, but also, as you mentioned, in not aggressively tackling many of these priorities.
Yeah.
Having said that, last week was important because the Senate Judiciary Committee did take concrete action and passed a bill that would restore habeas corpus, the sacrosanct right of individuals to challenge government detention in open court, which is a bedrock of any free society. And if you don't have it, as we do not in this country right now, because of what Congress did last year, when you don't have it, you are giving up a fundamental freedom, and it's one that many people think the courts would ultimately restore because parts of that act were so blatantly unconstitutional. But we should not wait for that. And the Judiciary Committee did pass that bill out of committee, and that means it's ready for a full floor vote. And I'm told by sources on the Hill that Senator Reid will bring it to the floor within the month. There's a lot more that needs to be done, but it's an important step.
Mm-hmm. Now, help me out here, because I am familiar that Senator Dodd of Connecticut, a candidate for president and obviously a Democrat, he made the most out of the Military Commissions Act and its abrogation of the fundamental right to habeas corpus. And he had drafted language to reform it, but his bill still hasn't exited committee. Am I right?
That's right. And some of this gets into, inside baseball, as they call it on the Hill, all the extra details. For one thing, Senator Dodd's bill, which I argue is a much better, bolder, more comprehensive human rights and constitutional rights restoration, is only available, that is, it can only be considered in the Armed Services Committee, which, as you might imagine, the senators on the Armed Services Committee tend to be less in favor of some of these human rights priorities as compared to those in the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, because of the makeup of the committees, which to a normal person might not sound like a good reason to slow down, right there, Senator Dodd is having a harder time getting traction on his bill. He shouldn't, because it's an excellent, important bill, and one that Americans support when they're told about it, according to polls, as people tend to support the Constitution itself in this country, and his bill is called the Restoring the Constitution Act.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have a longer climb, and people should look closely. Senator Dodd has been out there aggressively defending human rights in the Constitution, and his bill would not only restore habeas corpus, as we've just been discussing, but would also ban evidence obtained through torture and address the so-called immunity that the Bush administration tried to carve out for certain potential war criminals in the CIA and elsewhere, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So it would take many other important steps to get the United States away from the Bush era and back on the side of human rights.
Ari Melber with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He writes for The Nation. You can read his work at thenation.com. And Ari, who is the author of the bill that did survive and got a positive vote out of the Judiciary Committee last week?
The standalone habeas bill was sponsored by both Senator Leahy and Arlen Specter, the ranking member, that is the former chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So as I wrote for The Nation, what is a rare breath of fresh air here is that it is a bipartisan bill and it has strong bipartisan support. Senator Specter has had, at best, a checkered record on these issues in the past. Last Congress, for example, he said that parts of the Military Commissions Act were unconstitutional. And then he went ahead and voted for the act.
Yes, he did.
And, not to be too dramatic, but these senators, if nothing else, they take an oath when they're elected by us, the public, to uphold the Constitution. So the fact that in a moment of honesty, candor, or fury, I don't know what, he said on the Senate floor on the record, this is unconstitutional, and then proceeded to vote for it, you know, I do find that rather disgraceful.
Oh, indeed. And Ari, it brings up for me a phrase that I've heard often on a set of a commercial or a TV show. When something really bad happens and you don't have time to fix it, they say, well, we'll fix it in post, in post-production. We'll have a special effect, or, you know, we'll bring in some kind of a cover shot so that you can cut the audio, or, you know, something like that. And when Spector said, as you pointed out last fall, he voted for what I renamed the Joseph Stalin Detention, Interrogation, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006, the Military Commissions Act. He voted for it, saying that it was unconstitutional and praying that it would be fixed in post by the Roberts Supreme Court.
Right.
And, of course, Spector is one of those people who claimed that he was pro-choice and voted for the confirmation of Roberts and Alito, despite the very clear evidence that those men were not forthcoming about their positions on the right to choose and, in fact, are clearly anti-abortion.
Right. And what's the hardest thing to understand, Peter, is you look at someone like Senator Spector, he is in the twilight of his career. I mean, I wish him well, but he's been in office a very long time. He's a senior senator. He is getting on in years. There is no other ambition. This is not some 40-year-old whippersnapper senator who's trying to position himself for a potential presidential run or some cabinet position. This is it. And so I do think it's a real character check that you can't even say that, oh, he was overwhelmed by some ambition, which is not a good excuse, but we would understand that as a human foible. This is, I think, totally incomprehensible. You know, it's just, he said it out loud and then he goes ahead and votes for it. So that's really terrible. Having said that, he is co-sponsoring the Habeas Act, maybe now out of guilt or some other feeling, I don't know, but I welcome it. And so you have this bipartisan push, you know, really rare in the Washington we have today, which has been just a scorched earth partisan war zone, thanks to George Bush's, you know, really, really terrible tactics.
And
here you have a chairman and a ranking member working together on something important.
Mm-hmm. And Ari, if you'll indulge me, I have a little cork board here right next to my microphone and desk. And one of the things that's pinned up here is the Senate vote on the Military Commissions Act last October. And since we're dinging Arlen Specter, I'd just like to take a moment here to identify the Democrats who voted for it. Carper of Delaware, Johnson of South Dakota, Landrieu of Louisiana, Lautenberg of New Jersey, Lieberman of Connecticut, Menendez of New Jersey, Nelson of Florida, Nelson of Nebraska, Pryor of Arkansas, Rockefeller from West Virginia, chair of the Intelligence Committee, if anybody should know better, Salazar of Colorado, Stabenow of Michigan. And we already pointed out Specter. The other Republican who should never have voted for this bill is a guy named John McCain. And he said, aye, when he was asked for his vote. We'll take a break and return with Ari Melber from The Nation. If you want to talk about habeas corpus and the legislation pending in the Senate, give us a call toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And as we continue with Ari Melber, I want to talk about the court decision announced yesterday from a very conservative appeals court, another setback for the torture policies of this administration. We'll talk more in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
9 a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
And traffic is ready, folks. We got a problem right now in Watsonville. It's Hall Road at Elkhorn. Injury crash. Vehicle went off the roadway. Actually hit a tree. And emergency crews, in fact, on scene. Paramedics and fire department all there trying to help those injured folks in that crash. San Benito County, Highway 101 at Cole Road. We have a grass fire. Here's the deal. It's burning the center divide. The fire department is blocking the left lane in both directions. Heavy smoke in the lanes at this point, so that one's certainly causing some problems. And Highway 17 northbound and southbound looking very good. No problems to report, which is always great news. This support brought to you by State Farm Agency Recruiting. Looking for a business opportunity that offers unlimited earning potential? Become a State Farm agent. See how on June 19th in Pleasant Hill. Limited seating. Call 1-800 or Croxy 925-691-2707.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our music of the moment from Australia's Midnight Oil. Peter Garrett's the front man there. It's called My Country, Right or Wrong. And unfortunately, too many Americans just sit back and passively accept our torture policy, the spying policies on American citizens, and other incursions and intrusions into our constitutional rights that I think, frankly, cannot be tolerated. And we can't let milquetoast political leaders, Democrat or Republican, water down our reaction and our demands for full restoration of the rights of American citizens and even those who may not be legal citizens. But we have the case of Ali al-Mari. And if you can indulge me on a little humor, this is the first mullet-headed terrorist we have seen. He's a citizen of Qatar. That's Qatar, if you pronounce it that way, Q-A-T-A-R, one of the Arab Emirates. And he was a legal resident of the United States when he was picked up in Peoria, Illinois. And he has been held for 4 years at the Navy Brig in Charleston. And a very conservative, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against the government and in favor of the mullet head, Mr. al-Mari, just yesterday. And this is a very interesting issue, Ari Melber, because it's a quite technical matter. the government failed to declare this man an unlawful enemy combatant. They declared him simply an enemy combatant. And because of that, and because of the language of the Military Commissions Act, this court has ruled that his rights were not removed by the Military Commissions Act. Now, this appears to be sloppy drafting on the part of the people who really wanted to tighten up that loophole. But I'm very grateful that a conservative federal appeals court is ruling in favor of our view of the Constitution.
Yeah, and it couldn't come at a more important time. As you said, these are the real issues, not the horse race obsession we see about the presidential campaign or Paris Hilton. What we have is, as you say, a conservative court that has taken an important step in standing up and rebuking the Bush administration's central claims of unitary authority in basically making the home front, you know, a lawless zone where according to George W. Bush and his lawyers, anyone can be snapped up and taken into police or military custody and detained indefinitely without trial. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you had someone that was so unusual was he was taken first through civilian police custody and then transferred to the military.
Yeah.
And again, it's important to look at this in the larger context. The conservative Supreme Court, the final word, not the court that ruled this week, has already twice rebuked the administration for similar claims regarding Guantanamo and constitutional rights.
Well, I would only amend that to say that O'Connor was still on the court when the Hamdan decision came down. And it's not clear that Alito and Roberts would rule the same way.
That's true. And, of course, that's the issue with having one-party rule, where the president is putting people in office with an eye on the cases he's recently lost,
mm-hmm.
and the same political party is confirming them, for the most part, with the power that the Republicans had in the Senate. Although, yes, referring back, those were cases decided before both members had been added. But it's still striking that a court that leaned to the right had rejected the administration twice.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a Congress that, as we said before the break, is looking to restore habeas corpus and stand up on these issues. So we have, in essence, we have the other two branches of government, which are by no means, you know, liberal or anti-establishment, but still, the other two branches of government are now pushing back hard against this president's unconstitutional claims.
Well, and I'd love to hear some Democratic candidates stand up, and they've told us, many of them, what they would do on day one. Bill Richardson said he would order the troops to come home from Iraq on his first day in office. I'd like to hear somebody say, and I will lead the charge to repeal the Military Commissions Act and restore Constitution-based rule of law to this country.
Well, yeah, and you know, Peter, I think Chris Dodd so far has been the clearest, strongest candidate on that front, and I've written about him several times for The Nation. You know, he is out there saying that his day one policy is restoring the Constitution. He gave a very powerful commencement address at Cardozo Law School in New York last week talking about his efforts to repeal the Military Commissions Act and restore human rights. He's really gone into the buzzsaw on these issues, even as the inevitable attacks come from Republicans, you know, about the fact that if somehow if you support the Constitution, that's bad for America. You know, I think that's a pretty tough line to sell at this point
mm-hmm.
in our political evolution in this country.
And Ari, as you pointed out in an article that went up on May 21st, MoveOn.org, nominally, you know, a leader in the progressive community, has yet to really lead a charge on reforming the habeas corpus cutbacks.
That's right, and I've spoken with their leadership about this for several months now, because I've argued that I think the new power base of the Netroots is particularly well-positioned to make a strong push on Iraq and these human rights issues, both because it's something that their members already care about, according to the blog conversations and some of the blog surveys that are out there, and because they're stepping into a vacuum where, unfortunately, the great human rights organizations in this country are overwhelmingly nonpartisan. You know, Amnesty International, I think, does very important work here and around the world, but they don't play electoral politics. Then people wonder why the Constitution is sometimes ignored in these political battles, and I think that's one big reason why. There are others, but that's one reason. So I've argued that, and the article you're referring to was about how Move On had a new survey out that listed off many potential priorities for their members to rank and mm-hmm. sort of rank how important it was to them. And for some reason, constitutional rights were not even on the list.
Wow.
So I wrote about that, and I should emphasize that since that time, since that article, the following days, that survey actually did change and then include a constitutional rights plank
Great.
For their members to vote on.
Ari Melber, we're out of time. Thanks for joining me today. My pleasure.
Okay.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
If you'd like to see the Police, Bon Jovi, Melissa Etheridge, John Mayer, and more, tune in this Sunday at 10 a.m. when Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, will be hosting the show. Jim will be highlighting the power of compounding your real estate investments. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Immigration reform, take two. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The president is ready to take another swing at immigration reform, and his spokesman knows it won't be easy.
The fact is that we have put together reform that starts with the issue of security, makes it credible, and I think one of the things we have to do is to answer the skeptics. And our view is, okay, don't trust us. Take a look at what the bill says.
But as far as the critics are concerned, the bill says amnesty. Conservatives, even some liberals, can't abide the idea of just making 12 million people who are here illegally legal with the stroke of a pen. They have to go through some purification process, some legal scrubbing to wash away the stigma of forcing their labor on us. Part of the grand compromise is border security, although it's off to a rocky start. In some areas it seems to have cut the traffic, yes, but then yesterday a Border Patrol agent stopped a van with 24 illegal immigrants and found Private First Class Rodrigo Torres at the wheel in his Texas National Guard uniform. I'm guessing his promotion is on hold. But in the end, he was just doing what a lot of Americans do, pretending we really, really hate illegal immigration, but more than happy to make a buck off the immigrants. That's why I think the big grassroots campaign against granting amnesty to illegal immigrants is a little strange. Take the typical case of the homeowner who hires a worker who has a little trouble speaking English to pull the weeds that the homeowner would otherwise have to pull himself, since all the neighborhood kids are at the mall buying face hardware. The worker breaks the law in order to be able to work. The homeowner breaks the law in order not to have to work. Who really needs the amnesty here? Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or permed, it's not a problem because all our products are odor-free and all natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that's exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions.
the Peter B. Collins Show.
And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Jason Leopold writes for truthout.org. He is an experienced investigative journalist, also the author of a great memoir called News Junkie. And now he's turning into some sort of a video star. Only Dan Rather would never accuse him of being tarted up for the evening news. Hi, Jason.
That's right. That's right. Thanks, Peter. How are you?
Well, we haven't seen your legs yet, so on video anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's... Moving, you know, further into the 21st century.
Yeah, well,
this new media landscape, and it's, you know, it's actually it's funny because I'm certainly not used to, you know, I'm used to the written word, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and or literally, and it's really sort of enabled me to, you know, show people that when I'm reporting or, you know, depending on what these people that I'm interviewing are saying, it's accurate. You know, it depends. You know, it's sort of, to me, it's giving the viewer an insight into the world of journalism. You know, it's no secret that most of the stories I write about are controversial.
And, yeah.
And well, know, it comes with the territory, but at least they get to see that, you know, it's happening.
Well, I want to assign people some homework. If you haven't been there already, go to truthout.org, and right on the homepage, smack dab in the middle, is the latest video interview shot by Jason Leopold, and this one is with John McKay, who was fired as the U.S. attorney in Seattle as part of the sweeping changes at the Justice Department that still have Alberto Gonzalez in the hot seat. And while it dismays me to tell you that he is still our attorney general, there was a no-confidence vote that garnered 53 votes, including, I believe, 5 Republicans in the Senate yesterday. And while I believe that the House should be moving expeditiously around impeachment of Mr. Gonzalez, the Democratic leadership is at least was content to try this no-confidence vote. It was flicked away by the president after he got all that love in Albania. He gave a nice conference, I think, in Rome yesterday, and just said that it's a meaningless political exercise. And, of course, we know when the president says that something that is going on is politics and he infers that it's democratic politics, that is a cover for the origins of the issue, which, of course, are Republican politics.
Right, right. And it's, you know, it's pretty remarkable and confusing at the same time to, you know, try and understand, you know, how it is that the Democrats, who are in the majority, and that we've heard some vocal Republicans who have, you know, spoken out in opposition to Gonzalez, how they can't even seem to pass something that really has no impact, a non-binding measure. It's very troubling, and I fear that basically what is going to happen is that the investigation itself is going to lose steam, because the Democrats at this point really need to start issuing those subpoenas and taking some action.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, you know, there's been all this talk for the past couple of months about getting Karl Rove and Harriet Myers in there through the threat of subpoena, but it seems to be an empty threat at this point. So I'm not quite sure what they've got up their sleeve, if they have anything up their sleeve, the Democrats, that is, these Democratic committees.
Well, Jason, let me get your take on this, because yesterday Murray Wass was on our program. He has the powerful new book out that includes all the transcripts from the Libby trial, complete
right.
with his commentary. And we spent a little bit of time talking with him about the U.S. attorney issues and Gonzalez. And he said that some of his sources in Washington indicate that the Democratic strategy is a threat to the White House, that they will refuse to confirm a replacement for Gonzalez. Now, I'm not getting the whole picture out of that comment, because that suggests that the Democrats want to keep Gonzalez there as a punching bag, a pinata, Just let him twist there and occasionally take a swipe at him to remind people of this stench from the Bush administration. But I'm not happy with that.
What I'm not quite sure I understand, though, is a replacement for Gonzalez when? When Bush is out of office?
Yeah.
Do we really need to worry about it then?
Well,
no.
It does seem to be a kind of empty threat because, yeah, you have to vacate the position first.
Exactly. I mean,
to essentially make a threat to Bush that we won't confirm his replacement says leave him there.
We're not going to confirm we're not going to confirm a replacement that you don't intend to replace. Well, that's a really backward strategy, clearly, and it's evidence of some of the problems that the Democrats have had for a while. I mean, they really need to show some muscle. They seem to, you know, talk a good game, you know, early on. I mean, we're 6 months into the year, and since they assumed their majority, the new positions in Congress. But now it's time to use the cliche, put your money where your mouth is, and issue those subpoenas, because actually the public wants to see that, and certainly coming on the heels of the supplemental Iraq war bill, which they gave the green light to, really leaving people feeling that the Democrats are and not doing the public's work.
We're talking with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. Now let's turn to your John McKay interview, because to me, to borrow a porn term, the money shot was when you asked him if he was encouraged by Washington to file phony voter fraud cases. He looked at the camera and just said yes.
Yeah.
Explain a little more about the context and his answer.
Well, it's really interesting. I'm certainly learning a lot about the fact that many of the dismissals certainly did have the appearance of a common thread, obviously voter fraud. And what John McKay was talking about specifically is that back in 2004 in the governor's election, a very, very close race in which the Democrat beat out the Republican incumbent by 129 votes.
That's Gregoire over Rossi.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. And he was being pressured to convene a grand jury. And to basically, at first he wasn't, really putting two and two together, but later on what John McKay said was that they really wanted to install, the Republican back in. They wanted a grand jury to, investigate, these voter fraud allegations. McKay said that he didn't have any evidence. He actually said, I wasn't willing to put innocent people in jail or bring them before a grand jury. So he felt that, Republicans with very close ties to the White House, he didn't say Karl Rove, but certainly, that is the common link between everyone, applied pressure. He basically feels that his career ended as a result of that. And these investigations or the allegations of voter fraud was simply that they were baseless, he said.
Well, and again, I was just stunned by how directly he answered the question. And I can imagine him being examined as part of, say, an impeachment hearing of Alberto Gonzalez and being very effective, providing quite damaging testimony.
Well, that's actually, I have to say that in interviewing, I'm not quite sure if it's as a result. I mean, I'm going to have to say that in interviewing David Iglesias and John McKay over the past couple of weeks, what I've come away with is that they are very direct. And that they are incredibly forthcoming in divulging information about, what type of pressure the Justice Department had placed upon them, that obviously had more to do with partisan politics than, upholding the law. So I found both of them to be, very open. I think that John McKay has really shed some light on the fact that this pressure was coming from, people with very, very close ties to the White House, that was something that he was not used to, something that, for a career prosecutor, for somebody who was head of the American Bar Association or worked with the American Bar Association, he was just baffled. So, in looking at it in hindsight, he and Iglesias, John McCain and David Iglesias, have both felt that, this was really about bringing voter fraud cases, and it's very important to emphasize this, to bring it against Democrats.
Right.
That if Republicans lost the elections, there was something wrong with that. And the pressure that came down upon them, was basically in hopes of, putting these, basically getting the election results tossed out. I think what's really, really important, one question that we have not, one issue related to this that we really haven't looked at yet, and which I intend to do, is, well, if these guys were coming under pressure, and there are 93 U.S. attorneys, are there any U.S. attorneys out there that actually did follow through with
it? You betcha.
Certainly there are upstanding individuals, and John McCain and David Iglesias certainly appear to fit that mold, but are there any U.S. attorneys out there that actually succumb to pressure from the White House?
Well, McKay tells you in the video interview, Jason, that he got rumors or heard rumblings that he was on thin ice, so he went to the White House to see his old friend, Harriet Myers.
That's right. And her deputy, William Kelly.
And the first thing she said to him is, why are Republicans in Washington State so upset with you?
Right. And he said that that was a clear, reference to the 2004 election, that he, did not bring, convene a federal grand jury to investigate charges of voter fraud. He said that he put a report together, he sent it to Harriet Myers, he sent it to the White House, he informed the Justice Department, there's no evidence. They were clearly trying to politicize the judicial system. And, when you look at President Bush, who, let's face it, criticizing the President Bush at this point is just a no-brainer. But when you listen to him, back Alberto Gonzalez and say that there is no wrongdoing, well, that's infuriating. And I know that certainly, somebody like John McKay and David Iglesias, they have no intention of, returning to, work in federal government. I think John McKay actually said something that was really important in this interview, and what that was was how he felt that we would soon see some federal prosecutors who would be fearful of, filing public corruption charges or investigating that, as a result of all the politics that have sort of sunk into this into the atmosphere here.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. We'll talk about some of the damage control efforts underway at the White House. And we'll switch gears and talk about another story Jason has posted in the last couple of days about anti-Semitism on the part of Christians in the military. That's coming up next here as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Have you heard the show weekdays from noon to 2 on KRXA 540?
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too.
I started Couscous and a Bible solution. Open at 7 every day. I have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
There we go. Taking a look at traffic real quickly. Let's tell you that we do have a problem on northbound 17 just before the summit. Stalled vehicle, but it looks like it's in the clearing stages. In fact, it does appear that they already have a unit on pushing that vehicle off of the roadway as we speak. Also want to mention that we do have a Watsonville problem. This is Hall Road at Elkhorn. An injury crash vehicle went off the roadway into a tree. Emergency crews, in fact, on scene there along with paramedics and fire department as well. Live Oak, Kinsley at 17th Avenue. We have an accident there. Two vehicle crash, reportedly blocking lanes. And CHP is on the way to the scene there as well. A support brought to you by Great America. Great America and the new Great Barrier Reef at Boomerang Bay are now open. Now get your wild card and enjoy two parks for the price of one. Hurry, offer ends July 3rd.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, Melanie Sloan returns to our show with a report from Crew, and she's going to talk about Scott Block, this White House special counsel who has issued a stinging report and a rebuke of the head of the General Services Administration for improper political activity in a government setting. And we'll talk about that with Melanie in a few minutes. We continue now with Jason Leopold. And, Jason, this action by Scott Block, do you think that portends good things for David Iglesias, who has asked this same office to investigate his firing under a different issue? And that was that Iglesias was a member of the reserves, and he felt that one of the reasons he was fired was that his reserve duties caused him to be away from his office as a U.S. attorney.
Right, and I actually asked David Iglesias about that, particularly about Scott Block, and if he felt that because of the fact that Scott Block himself is under investigation, and in addition to that, his very close ties to the White House, would the would the integrity of such an investigation be borne out by someone like him? And David Iglesias was very confident that during his meetings with Scott Block and with other individuals at the Office of Special Counsel that Scott Block would do the right thing, as he said.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest with you. I'm absolutely skeptical of that, and that is because again, this Scott Block has a very close relationship with the White House. In fact, in the particular issue that Loretta Doan, I believe.
You're correct, Loretta Doan.
Scott Block had to write a letter to George Bush, to President Bush, saying, I advise you to take, the action against her, harsh action. And, I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of the president. Forgive me for actually, trying to go that far, but...
Jason, they're boots.
The boots, excuse me. You're right. And just looking at a letter like that, where it's clear that what she was saying came as a result of a meeting out of Karl Rove's camp, and I just find it, I can't see President Bush doing anything about it.
Well, and my scenario would be that Block's being tough on her so that when he whiffs on the Iglesias case, he can say, well, look, I was tough on somebody else. So I just call him as I see him.
Yeah.
Jason, also...
just as a small little reference point, her attorney, Loretta Doan's attorney, is... I don't know his name, but he works at Patton Boggs, which is Karl Rove's same law firm that Karl Rove has uses as well. So obviously they're a big firm, but the incestuous relationship continues.
Yeah, interesting. Now, your colleague and my former producer, Matt Renner, filed a story today based on his research in Washington last week.
Right.
That Mark McKinnon has resurfaced as an advisor to the Bush administration doing damage control on the Gonzalez U.S. Attorney Flapp.
Right, and it's a great story. And as a result of Matt's story, I'm sure you can ask Melanie about that, but Crew did file a Freedom of Information Act request. Matt poured through all these documents, hundreds of pages of documents that the Justice Department released, and found that Mark McKinnon, who was very instrumental in the Bush-Cheney, recount. In fact, during the campaign back in 2000, someone from McKinnon's office had leaked it was discovered later on, had leaked a copy of a debate tape to Al Gore's campaign, to create the appearance of some sort of impropriety. But, what's very interesting is that, that someone like Mark McKinnon has such a direct line into the White House, even though he claims that, he was just inquiring what they plan to do and, what the response would be to someone like Jill Conison from Salon, who had written a story critical of, some of these firings.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the White House, the evidence is there. The White House used, Mark McKinnon, who is an expert in the art of spin, to contain the fallout from this attorney scandal.
Yeah.
And it certainly would be important to know how much if any taxpayer dollars was used on that.
Let's check in with Everett in Crescent City on the fringe of the signal of KGOE from Eureka. Hello, Everett. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm listening intently, even though I am on the fringe. First of all, Jason, it's nice to talk to you again. I think I met you at a book signing at the book passage in Corte Madera last fall.
Oh, yeah. Great. That's right.
Yeah, and the question I have is that the White House is tenaciously keeping Alberto Gonzalez in the position that he's in. And the question that I'm having is that considering what Gonzalez knows in terms of things that the administration has done, if and when he were to come out of this current administration, would he be subject to executive privilege stopping him from testifying in certain settings, or does he lose that if he's out of the administration?
I'll be honest. I'm not quite sure how that works. I know that during the course of this administration, the laws, in terms of executive privilege and even access to archives, once this administration is out of office, have changed over the years. In fact, I know that Bush does not want individuals to have, the public to have access to any of the archives for about 20 years. I have to be honest, I'm not quite sure what the right answer on that is.
And Everett, I think you're sniffing around in the right area. I do think that Gonzalez is the line of defense in front of Karl Rove.
Right.
And, I can't quite quantify it at this point, but I think all the information eventually will leak out, dribble out, or be subpoenaed out, and we'll know further. But that's my deep suspicion about what's going on there. Thanks for your call today.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call. Thanks.
Okay. And I hate it when people thank me for taking their call. But I'll get over it.
And I think that the other thing is that both Iglesias, McKay, and certainly, some of the other, U.S. attorneys who were fired, but particularly, John McKay said, point blank that Gonzalez is lying, and he said lying. He's not telling the truth. He's protecting the White House, and it's disturbing. Again, you mentioned early on, Peter, about impeachment. That is something that Congress can do with Gonzalez. But it's, putting out these press releases at this point in response to, what is going to happen or the course of the investigation seems to be getting us nowhere.
Yeah. Well, Jason, we covered a lot here. We didn't get to your story about anti-Semitic Christians at Fort Leavenworth, but people can read about that online at truthout.org. Let's
and
talk
just,
again.
Quickly, if I could just say, the Fort Leavenworth Army chaplains scrubbed their site, and the materials related to that story can no longer be found there.
Oh, okay. Jason, thank you very much. I'll be in Washington next week, so we'll probably try to schedule with you something later in the week, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. That's Jason Leopold, truthout.org. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I,
The show on KRXA 540.
The,
Weekdays from noon to two.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush refuses to give up on the immigration bill. Just back from Europe, he went to Capitol Hill today for a strategy lunch with Republican senators. It's an uphill battle, reports CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson.
Conservatives who support the bill have been facing a backlash at home. Senator John Kyle was a key author of the compromise.
I think it's important that we complete the action on the bill.
And that doesn't sit well in his home border state of Arizona.
I think it should absolutely be scrapped. I don't think we should have anything to do with making new laws when we don't enforce the ones we already have on the books.
And in Georgia, protesters took a swipe at Senator Saxby Chambliss for being on the same side as liberal Ted Kennedy.
Sources tell CBS News that the president and GOP senators discussed confidence-building measures such as allowing border state governors to determine when their borders are secure before an estimated 12 million illegal immigrants already in the country are put on the path to citizenship. For the second time in 5 days, air travelers in the east are having their plans frustrated by the weather.
We had a number of delays and cancellations, particularly in the New York area today.
Laura Brown of the FAA.
At Newark, we had about 89 cancellations, LaGuardia 154, JFK 103.
Severe thunderstorms are the problem, as they are in parts of the south. Amy Ziff of Travelocity.com got stuck in Charleston.
I'm flying on Continental, but I tried to get on Delta, US Air, Northwest. I would have taken anyone out of here today, and there was just no such luck.
A troubling medical study finds that black heart attack victims don't fare as well as whites. They often don't get the same level of treatment. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has more.
In an exhaustive review covering more than 1.2 million Medicare patients, it was found that blacks were far less likely than whites to receive specialized care for heart attacks. What kind of treatment are we talking about here? Blood vessel opening surgery such as angioplasty, often considered crucial after serious heart attacks. This study in the Journal of the American Medical Association says after 1 year, blacks had higher mortality rates.
A House panel held hearings on the toxic tap water at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and the government put out a new report on the extent of the problem. CBS News correspondent David Martin has details.
Tap water, a new federal health study says, was contaminated with toxins up to 40 times current safety standards. Chemicals from a local dry cleaner seeped into Lejeune's water for 3 decades. During that time, 75,000 people lived there, and some 20,000 children were born.
The contaminants found in the water at Lejeune have been linked in scientific literature to birth defects and childhood cancers.
The problem was discovered in 1982, but Marine families weren't notified for 15 years. The Dow tanked again today, down 129 points to 13,295. This is CBS News.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy,
what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
What's on your summer travel wish list? The beach? Your mom's? Someplace you've never been? Well, Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels are giving you a free $50 gas card this summer to go anywhere your heart desires. With our Easy Choice Rewards program, just redeem 6 stamps for your free $50 gas card. After all, your wish list awaits. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com today. We'll see you there.
Earn 1 stamp per night. Maximum 5 stamps for qualifying stay. Redeem 6 stamps between 6-1 and 8-16-07 to receive gas card. For details, visit easychoiceonline.com.
How much is a pair of pants worth, even if you call them trousers? A trial to decide that question opened in Washington, D.C. today. WTOP Radio's Neil Augenstein reports.
The administrative law judge who's suing his dry cleaner for $54 million says he suffered 2 years of inconvenience and discomfort after his pants were misplaced. In the opening statement of his civil trial, Roy Pearson told the judge in an overpacked courtroom that his claim focuses on 3 misleading signs posted in the store that guaranteed customer satisfaction. The attorney for the family that owns the dry cleaner says Pearson filed the suit because he was recently divorced and had significant financial hardship. The lawyer for the Chung family calls Pearson's claim, in his words, patently unreasonable and honestly ridiculous.
Pearson has even demanded reimbursement for the cost of driving to a different dry cleaner. Today, as he described being given the wrong pants, he choked up, asked the judge for a recess, and left the courtroom in tears. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, Dave. Larry here. Hey, next Tuesday, one wheel from every pallet truck is going to fall off. Strangest thing. It'll basically grind the floor to a halt. How about that? Just wanted you to be prepared. Bye.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. From casters and wheels to carts, trucks, and conveyors, we have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Can you guess where is Michelin Man? After driving 2,000 miles from L.A., he's pulling up to the world's largest baseball bat, 7 stories high. For his big trip to the Big Bat, he chose Michelin Primacy MX-V4 tires. Smooth ride, mile after mile, and an unprecedented 60,000-mile warranty. So take a stab, or should I say swing, at guessing Michelin Man's location. Then visit MichelinMan.com/guesswhere for the answer, plus more on Michelin Primacy MX-V4 tires.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We launch into the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today. It's the Free Speech Zone, where your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules, right?
I was walking down the street.
Any topic, any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We'll even pay for the call. It's 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372.
Brother from the gutter, they look me up and down a bit and turn to each other. I say I don't like cricket. Hello.
No, I love it. We get things started this hour with Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CRU. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website is Citizens for Ethics, Citizens, F-O-R, ethics.org. Melanie, how are you doing today?
Good, Peter. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. Just trying to connect all the dots here and follow all of the action that's underway. Let's start off with the case of Loretta Alexis Doan, who has been described by White House special counsel Scott Block as having engaged in the most pernicious of political activity, And in an 8-page memo with a 4-page letter to the president, he said that she had a proclivity toward misrepresentation and obstructing an official investigation. And he's encouraging the president to throw the book at her. I recommend that Administrator Doan be disciplined to the fullest extent for her serious violation of the Hatch Act and insensitivity to cooperating fully and honestly in the course of our investigation. So those are pretty strong words, likely to make an impact on the president.
So hard to say. This is, of course, the same president who's protecting Alberto Gonzalez no matter what and referring to my government as saying Gonzalez is part of his government as if we are not part of a representative democracy. So, you know, hard to know on that point. And also, Scott Block is a little hard to take seriously. He has his own serious Inspector General investigation that's been looking at him, and he's been trying to save his job. So all of that aside, Loretta Doan is a terrible person who ought to be out of government.
But it is a little surprising to hear this blunt language from Scott Block. I expected a kind of nuanced report. Mistakes were made. She may have overstepped her bounds. She may not have been familiar with the language of the Hatch Act. There don't appear to be any excuses served up here at all.
Well, two things. First, I think it would have been a little hard to find excuses for Loretta Doan when there were so many members of her staff who were coming forward and giving evidence about her misconduct. She had participated and arranged a January 26th meeting with Scott Jennings, the White House Deputy Political Director, and there had been many members of GSA who had been there, and she asked all these people to think about how they could help Republican candidates. And they also discussed the need to get Republicans to the opening of a green federal building in San Francisco where Pelosi would be in attendance. And she just claimed that she wasn't paying attention because she was busy reading email on her BlackBerry.
Yeah, I believe that.
And then
that.
When she testified about this before Henry Waxman, the chairman of the Government Oversight Committee, she just kept saying, "I don't know, I don't recall," about meetings that were only a couple months earlier.
Well, I mean, she's in sync with Alberto Gonzalez.
She is, and it is really, you know, if nothing else, all these people should lose their jobs for incompetence and poor memories. Don't you think people in the top levels of government should be able to remember what they're doing?
Well, you would hope so.
You would hope so. I mean, if you can't even remember what you did a couple months ago, then you might not really be in the right job. Alberto Gonzalez has said that he can't even remember being in meetings with the president about the firing of the U.S. attorneys.
But he is responsible, and he remembers making the decision. He just can't remember when or exactly how or who put the names on the list or any of that.
Well, he too, is a real fan of the mistakes were made.
Right.
Excuse. And so this is a common theme in the Bush administration. Mistakes were made. I think the Bush administration said that even about the war in Iraq. Mistakes were made. But apparently nobody in the Bush administration is ever are the people making those mistakes.
Right. Yeah. It's all in passive voice. And there's no active person that you can blame for it.
Right. Do you think you could go home and apologize to one of your family members with the mistakes were made and that would go over?
No.
No, me either.
they're not that dumb. Now, Melanie, what happens from here? We have this 8-page memo and a 4-page letter. It's going to go to the president, and will that be immediately dropped into a shredder, or exactly what happens to one of these reports?
Well, they are, of course, reviewing this report over there, and Loretta Doan, unfortunately for her, is not one of the president's oldest friends from Texas, and I expect that at some point she's going to lose her job, although you would have thought she'd have lost it months earlier, because this is hardly the first bad article Loretta Doan has had. I would have thought when she appeared before Henry Waxman and came and this whole scenario was spun out where, you know, she was at the meeting with the PowerPoint presentation, it was clear she violated the Hatch Act then, you would have thought that would have been enough for her to lose her job. So
yeah.
I think the Bush administration wants to see if they can get away without firing her, but I expect that with this report from somebody who is known to be quite a conservative, Scott Block is hardly a liberal guy. He's got a terrific reputation with the religious right. So you might well see some more right-wing senators and members of the House agreeing with Scott Block and calling for Loretta Doan's resignation, which will probably be the end of her.
And she'll resign saying she wants to spend more time advising her family on political activity.
Right. Doesn't every person who leaves the administration just want to spend more time with their family?
You bet. They've sacrificed so much.
They have. And we believe that it would be great if they spent more time with their family. It would only be good for their families and good for the country.
Now, Melanie, what do you take away from the Senate no-confidence vote yesterday, where essentially using the cloture rule, the Republicans blocked a non-binding resolution? However, five Republicans crossed over and voted with the Democrats to, in a simple statement that they don't have confidence in Alberto Gonzalez.
Well, I think this is a little complicated. All of these parliamentary votes are always different than a vote on something more substantive, and it's very hard to leave your party on a parliamentary vote. There's really very little precedent for something, for a no-confidence vote, which is something that's much more a part of the British system than it is the American system, and it wouldn't have had any meaning anyway. That said, the Bush administration made it clear that they didn't want Republicans to vote for it, and I think that the real issue here is Republicans recognize that if Attorney General Gonzalez were gone, there are real issues with whether or not someone else could get confirmed for the position of Attorney General, and what would Senate confirmation hearings look like. And would they talk about the torture memos again and all the problems at Guantanamo? And I think that the Republicans don't really want to go there, and so they're willing to give their very tepid support for Gonzalez to avoid a vicious Senate confirmation hearing that would only go badly for the Republican administration. And remember, Republicans don't need to give the Democrats any more room to highlight all the failures of the Bush administration, which is going to hurt the 2008 Republican presidential candidate, whoever he or she is.
And Melanie, if you care to speculate a little bit, if Gonzalez did resign, what is the fallout? Is it that, there would be a new person there who might have a different posture on, for example, congressional subpoenas for Roe and the emails and some of the other information that the White House has not been forthcoming with?
Oh, no. Whoever it would be would have exactly the same positions, and none of that would come out. The problem is really the confirmation hearings themselves. And would there be anybody who, first of all, would want the job at this late date in the Bush administration, and who would want all the headaches that the Justice Department has become? And secondly, could they ever get confirmed by a Democratic Senate? And the answer is probably not.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, we'll watch that one as it continues. Melanie, I wanted to get your take. This happened a couple of weeks ago, but a watered-down ethics reform bill surfaced and was voted out of the House of Representatives. And for me, it was very disappointing because it did not extend the revolving door ban to prevent members of Congress from jumping to K Street and making $500,000 a year lobbying their former colleagues. They kept that at a one-year revolving door rule, and I don't think that's progress. But was there anything good in there that at least is half a loaf that moves some of your ethics priorities forward?
You know, I am not a fan of this bill, and I'll tell you why. The problem, even in the last Congress, was never that there weren't ethics rules. It was that they weren't enforced. All the stuff that you and I have talked about in the past regarding Jack Abramoff, these trips to Scotland, these elaborate dinners, all of that was already against the rules. And the problem was we had an ethics committee that didn't take the rules seriously and didn't enforce them. So you can create all the new rules in the world that you want to, but if you aren't going to enforce them, what difference does it really make? And the ethics committee hasn't changed, and the ethics process hasn't changed. So until there's serious change there, I think that we're really talking about marginal differences.
But don't you feel sorry for Trent Lott because he can't have a lobbyist take him out to lunch and he's got to go to McDonald's, as he calls it?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of members of Congress who are complaining. And, you know, interestingly enough, I mean, this rule that the change from the one-year revolving door to the two-year revolving door, I mean, it wasn't Trent Lott who stopped that from happening. It was the Democrats.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Interestingly enough, they put John Conyers out there from Michigan, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, to be the one to kill it. And when he killed it, he said, well, we wouldn't be able to attract top staff. But the truth of the matter is, first, let me say that John Conyers is nearly 80 years old, so he's not looking for another job. He's in an incredibly safe district in Michigan, and I know I used to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to be going anywhere, and he has long-term staff who also aren't looking for new jobs. The real reason that that provision got changed back to the 1 year is because members of Congress don't want to lose their chance to make the big bucks when they get out of Congress. And Conyers, in a safe seat in a safe district, was just the guy who was put out to say it so that no one else would suffer for it.
That's a real drag. All right, Melanie, thanks for that insight. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. All right. The tank is full, and we're ready to roll. Take your phone calls here in the Free Speech Zone. Lines are open right now, 888-5-PETER-B. That number again, 888-573-8372. I'd like to hear from you on the issues we've been talking about. Ethics, habeas corpus, the Gonzalez case, and the Gonzalez case, yeah. We'll take your calls the rest of this hour, so get on the line now. 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic. Big problem in San Benito County, Highway 101 at Cole Road. We have a rather large grass fire. Sig alert is in effect from the CHP, which always indicates a rather significant situation. It's burning in the center divide. The fire department has the left lane blocked. Now, here's the situation. The left lane actually is blocked in both directions. Southbound traffic is slow from 156. The estimated time of opening is not going to be until 9 p.m. this evening. So we're talking about a rather large fire at this point. Meanwhile, let's take a look at what else is happening. We do have a situation working in, Santa Cruz. Our road work on northbound and wanted Emma Line, the off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day for long-term road work. Other than that, northbound and southbound 17 looking good. Already have a PG&E rebate booklet filled up with $1,800. This report brought to you by PG&E.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes, 23 minutes after the hour. And we're in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. Switchboard is open for you right now, so if you call in, it'll be a short wait on hold. 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. And if you're driving home, just pick up that fancy cell phone, give us a call. We'll accept the static with your important words. 888-573-8372. Maybe you want to comment on Carl Mayer. He was our guest in the first hour today. He's an attorney from Princeton, New Jersey, and he is part of the legal team fighting for our rights against the illegal government spying, the NSA intrusion into our telephone calls, voicemails, emails, and other electronic communications. And it is stunning what the government has tried to do, the expansive powers they claim they're entitled to, and what it means to us as a society. So I encourage you to comment on that if that's something that's on your mind today. Yesterday, we were cut off at about 5:15 in Eureka by a Giants baseball game. No offense taken, it just happens that way. And so we had a conversation that some of you didn't hear, led by a caller from Arcata who wanted to talk about Obama and Clinton. And there's an interesting survey of the results released today by the Los Angeles Times and Bloomberg. And it shows that while Hillary Clinton is in first place among the primary contenders with 33%, and Obama has only 22%, which is a slight decline from the last survey, Obama is the strongest general election candidate of the Democrats. He is the only Democrat who beats all three major Republican contenders in the what-if matchups, Giuliani, McCain, and Romney. Clinton runs behind all three of those contenders in a head-to-head matchup. So this is a very interesting anomaly in the data that we're seeing so far, because Clinton has very high negatives with Republicans. That's known. If anything unifies the Republicans, it's the idea of Hillary Clinton running for president. But she has very strong negatives among Democrats as well. 18% of Democratic primary voters say they can't vote for Hillary Clinton. And that's the highest negative rating of any Democrat. For example, Barack Obama only, and we discussed this in a gingerly way yesterday, as an African-American, we think there are a lot of people who wouldn't tell a pollster honestly that they would never vote for a black man. But Obama, at least according to the polls, only earns that number, and it's not all attributed to race. I want to be clear about that. But 5% in this L.A. Times Bloomberg poll say that because of whatever reason, they would never vote for Barack Obama. And so I think it's very interesting. Another poll that I think it was CBS, but don't hang me on that. I heard the results on the PBS NewsHour last night. They were reporting that of Democrats, 45% were prepared to vote for Hillary Clinton, but 50% said niet. Now, this is very interesting in a number of ways. First of all, I argue that because there are so many Democrats, what, 8 or 10 in the primary candidate pool, that nobody's going to go head-to-head with her until later in the primary process, so that her negatives are not going to come into play until the field is narrowed to two or three. And I think that is a very interesting factor because the polls will still reflect it, particularly in the matchups, the potential matchups with Republican candidates, but it won't necessarily be borne out in the results of the early primaries because, as I say, Edwards, Obama, they're not going to confront Hillary directly on the things that compose the body of her negatives. The other interesting part of the figure that I just cited, that 45 are prepared to vote for Hillary and 50% are not. You add that up, it totals 95. And that means that only 5% of Democrats are undecided or have no opinion about Hillary Rodham Clinton. That means that she has a very tough slog to move her 45 favorable, her 45 positive, up over the 50% mark. And I think that's another reason why many of us, I'm not alone, are not afraid to have a woman president, not afraid to have an African-American president. But Hillary Clinton is not the right person for this time. That is my considered opinion. And yet the mainstream media wants to gloss over the pair-ups with Republican opponents and simply cite that she is the leader of the Democratic contenders, according to the polls to date. Slippery stuff. My daddy told me, figures don't lie, but liars can figure. That's what he told me. Fool me once, shame on, you know what I mean. I'm ready for your phone call, so get on the line now. We'll take them right after the break here at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
No fighting. We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
Well, no fighting is allowed, but we can't argue.
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel it's right. All the attraction, the tension. Don't you see, baby, this is perfection.
Hey, girl. Driving me crazy, and I didn't have the slightest idea until I saw you dancing. Yeah. And when you walk up on the dance floor, nobody can add it to the way you move your body, girl. And everything's so unexpected, the way you right and left it, so you can keep on shaking it.
Never really knew that she could dance like this. Yeah. She make a man wanna speak Spanish. Como se llama?
Bonita.
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk.
I just enjoy that song and played it for no particular reason. It's called Hips Don't Lie from Shakira. She is a Colombian Lebanese bombshell. And if you've ever seen the video of that song, it is H-O-T. Check it out. It's really good stuff. 888-5, Peter B. All my lines are open right now. It's summertime, and I guess you're out driving your tractors, mowing the lawn, or having a mint julep on the back stoop. But I would appreciate your phone call here to the Free Speech Zone. I've carved out this time for you to join us with your comments, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, during the break, I was perusing an email, a press release that came in from an outfit in Orange County. And they have launched a website called VoiceYourChoice2008.com. That's VoiceYourChoice2008.com. And I'm trying to get a line on this because I'm always suspicious of things that come from behind the orange curtain. And this website, the homepage, has a picture that you may have seen after Hurricane Katrina. It's a Photoshop deal where they took a happy picture of George W. Bush and his poppy in fishing outfits with fishing rods and even, caught fish hanging off the hooks. And they're standing in front of flooded New Orleans. Now, that amused me. Then there is a kind of satirical cartoon of George W. Bush. And this website takes the position that we are fed up with the direction of our country. We are choosing to take a stand because it's our patriotic duty. It's time for the people to make the changes necessary to put real leadership back into the government. Voter apathy is at a new height in the flagship country of the free world. Did you vote in the last election, it thunders? Why not? 55% of the eligible voters did not vote in the last election. This is embarrassing. Voice Your Choice is powered by your vote. All right, then I click to a page called Quotes, where the first quote, here is yet another shining example from George W. Bush. And they have one of his quotes. The ambassador and general were briefing me on how the vast majority of Iraqis want to live in a peaceful, free world, and we will find these people and bring them to justice. But then they go on to attack Hillary Clinton. It reads, the other side has a plethora of material as well. For instance, Senator Hillary Clinton believes that she has been the president. I don't know where that came from. GW does not hold the corner on the market for isms. The one thing our students need today is a clear understanding of how one woman can take away all their toys at the blink of an eye. Here's a quote from Hillary Clinton. We are going to take things away from you for the common good. I have no idea where that quote came from or what she's referring to. The website goes on. This is the same woman who perhaps lived too long in the White House. Having all those maids and servants gave her a new perspective and definition to the definition of work for our youth. Huh? Then there's another quote from Hillary. We have a lot of kids who don't know what work means. They think that work is a four-letter word. All right. Then it reads, we're in trouble indeed. So I can't quite tell what the focus or the purpose is of this website, Voice Your Choice. We called their office and invited one of the co-founders to come on the show, but you just get voicemail, and so we left a message. But we'll keep an eye on this and see if this is like some kind of a swift boat measure or something. Maybe, you know, it's all above board and squeaky clean, but I cannot be sure. All right, to your phone calls, we've got Ethan in Arcata back on the line. Hello, Ethan. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
I want to give a quick shout-out, if that's all right.
Okay, we take shout-outs.
Yeah, I just want to say hi and thanks to all the ladies in WILP here in Humboldt County.
All right.
And the Women's International League of Peace and Freedom, or something like that.
Okay.
Especially my mom, Marianne.
All right.
And Carol, who's my good friend.
Okay, Marianne and Carol. That's $5 each, Ethan.
Okay, thanks. Well, they're probably listening, so.
Uh-huh. Well, just send me a check and everything will be
okay.
Cool. What did you want to talk about today?
Well, I really liked the talk you had with your first guest, whose name I don't remember.
It's Carl Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R.
Carl Mayer, yeah. I just thought it was interesting because I'm the son, the proud son of a Vietnam draft dodger.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it's interesting how the debate now is on whether or not to have this FISA supervision over wiretapping. Because I can remember back in the day before George Bush, I can remember people actually protesting FISA as being the fascist rogue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's just one shining example of how the debate's been changed and how much ground we have lost.
Well,
as a result of what George Bush has done and all the other crazed
Republican nuts. Indeed, Ethan, and we can hear the road noise behind you there, and I'll use this metaphor. If, you know, our politics were previously represented by a four-lane highway where the center was actually in the middle of the four lanes, well, they have moved it to the right. And so we now have, you know, three lanes of conservatives, and there's a little bit of a passing lane for progressives or libertarians or others who don't identify with the Republicans, the neocons, the conservatives, and that whole cabal. And so we have seen the stripe moved. The center has moved to the right, and, you know, it really is unnerving. You make a great point that civil libertarians for years have looked at the FISA law and said, even as it stood, that was a major intrusion on our constitutional rights. And now we're begging the Bush administration just to observe the FISA law. And that just shows how far they have succeeded in moving the reference point, whatever the center was, over to their side of the road.
And that, you know, that's just one issue. I would encourage everybody to try if they can, if it's possible, to put their brains, especially liberals and progressives, put your brains back where they were 15 years ago. And it's pretty far out because not just that issue, everything. You know, we've moved from trying to move out of fascism and into some kind of progressive society to now we're trying to move out of totalitarianism and back into fascism.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate your perspective, and give us a little background on you, Ethan. Are you politically active? Are you involved in any organizations or grassroots efforts?
I'm not. I'm politically conscious, but that's why I gave the shout-out to the WILP ladies, because I admire their political action, and I'm a person who has just moved from college, find myself in a ton of debt, and I'm forced to work, you know, 8 or 12 hours a day to accommodate that.
Yeah.
And so the people who have set up their lives in a way that they have the time to act, I really am appreciative of it. And
All right.
I try to support them as much as I can. But
well, Ethan, I'm delighted to have you listening. I'm glad you called today. Thank you.
Yep. All right.
All right. That's Ethan in Arcata. And let me scroll down here and see who's on the next line. It's Mark in Port Orford, Oregon. Welcome, Mark. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello there.
Hi.
I bet you didn't realize that your powerful voice reached this far up the coast.
Well, how far north of Coos Bay are you?
I'm not north of Coos Bay. I'm south of Coos Bay.
Oh, okay. But you're listening to the Eureka station, KGOE?
Correct.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, we love that powerful 1480. It does a boom out of Eureka there, and I'm glad you've checked in today, Mark.
Yeah, I wanted to make a general comment about ethics in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically as ethical consideration relates to the movers and shakers in the corporate world and in the political realm. I would submit to you that ethics has become a nuisance. Ethical consideration gets in the way of the bottom line and in the way of power brokers who are trying to, you know, make their moves. And I don't know that a lot of people stop to realize just how obsolete the consideration of ethics has become.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking about Enron, and I'm
exactly.
thinking about the way, in general, the public, you know, watched them in the rah-rah run-up, and everybody thought, you know, okay, they're a little predatory, they're a little aggressive, they're probably, you know, cutting some corners. But even after their demise, and you saw the way that they were able to stash their losses in these offshore entities, the, you know, these phony, dummy partnerships that were controlled by their CFO, it was brilliant, but it was not in the least bit ethical. And all you have to do is look at the shareholders, and I'm one of them. I got burned for a modest amount. I had 100 shares of Enron. And I'm most concerned not about me, but about the retirees, the people who worked for Enron, who were encouraged to invest all of their retirement money in company stock, and who got burned very badly by the misleading comments of Ken Lay and others as the company was tanking and he was selling stock and telling everybody else to hold on to it. Everything, we're going to turn the corner. Everything's going to be okay. And there's been precious little judgment in American society, culture, or media about the incredible ripoff that Enron represented and the way that many companies continue to skirt the law and use Enron tactics, maybe not the full Enron, but many of the same schemes to defraud shareholders and pump up the value of a stock where insiders can benefit and the rest of us get burned. It goes on every day.
Well, that illustrates my point beautifully in that if you think back to how many people's lives basically were turned upside down. They lost their pensions. It happened up here in Portland, PGE, the local electric utility. A lot of those people lost their pensions too because PGE was involved with that Enron scandal.
Yeah, the public utility, I don't know what the entity was, but they sold the utility to Enron and then Enron blew it up.
Yeah, it wasn't a public utility. Let's not make that mistake. It was
okay.
A privately owned corporation. That's where the problem comes in. If it had been a public utility, there would have been no option for selling out to a private corporation. But mm-hmm. PGE is definitely privately owned.
Well, Mark, one of the most pervasive things that you know we're starting to come to terms with, but there's still a wink and a nod about it, is the way corporate executives and members of the board collude to give stock options to executives who are already highly compensated in many cases. And these options are awarded, often backdated, to give the most spread, the upside spread, to the executive. And these people are essentially fleecing the real shareholders of the company. Because when they pull a million shares out and give it to the CEO, that dilutes the value of every other shareholder's equity in the company.
Right.
And we're all supposed to turn a blind eye to this and say, well, you know, it's just like a bet on the table in Vegas. And, you know, you hope that it's going to pay off and that if he's making money, we'll be making money. But there are
right.
hundreds of cases of companies where the CEOs and other executives got options and backdated options that made them very wealthy at the same time that the companies were going down in flames. And nobody holds these people to account. And I know a little bit about corporate structure and the fiduciary laws. And if we simply enforce the laws and required members of the boards of directors to honor their fiduciary duties to the shareholders, this wouldn't be happening. But we don't enforce those laws. You haven't heard of a director of a public company who has been brought up on charges by the SEC or even gone to jail for colluding in a deal that, provided excessive rewards to an executive. It just doesn't happen.
Well, that kind of brings me back to where I started with this, in that I'm suggesting that the general public now has kind of accepted the fact that ethics are a nuisance, and they accept the fact that business is done this way. And I guess one of the most shocking examples of that is the fact that these people who lost their pensions due to the Enron scandal, did we hear a peep from those people? Were there people out in the streets, raising all kinds of cane because their pensions were taken? No, we didn't hear much at all from the people that lost their pensions. So
there were some sob stories, but your point is generally
accurate.
Sob
stories,
yeah.
Maybe a few sob stories, but my gosh, just think what a life-changing event that would be, and you would think that it would instill a lot of anger and in action in people, and yet we saw little or nothing in the way of that. And as you have already pointed out, this kind of stuff is still going on every day.
Yep. I got to run to a break. Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate you listening. Good to hear you on the phone today.
Thank you.
All righty. More calls coming up next. You want to join that topic or talk about something else? I'd love to talk with you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
I'm Todd Hurlbert,
and I invite you to listen to The Week in Politics at our new time, 7 p.m. Monday nights. We're Monterey's hardest-hitting political hot talk. We cover local politics, also tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C. And most importantly, we take your calls and find out what you think. So if you haven't listened to us before, find out what we're all about. Monday night, 7 p.m. It's The Week in Politics. See you there.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
All right, everybody, let's talk about San Benito County. Highway 101, that is, at Cole Road, grass fire burning center divide. Fire department has a left lane blocked in both directions. Southbound traffic is slow from about 156, and they say everything's going to reopen by about 9 o'clock tonight. Meanwhile, we're going to take a look at another problem, and this one located in Santa Cruz, southbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard, we have a disabled vehicle blocking the left lane. Marina, northbound 1 before 12th Street, injury crash, right lane blocked, 2 to 3 vehicles, one of them flipped over, so a fire department emergency crew is on scene. Prunedale, northbound 101 after Blackie Road, injury crash there, 2 vehicles on the shoulder. With support brought to you by Napa Auto Parts, if you're a good fan of gas mileage, stop by the Napa Parts Auto Store and pick up some 3M Complete Fuel System Cleaner for just $8.49 a bottle. Napa, get the good stuff.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy
always now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your loving in my box now, baby. Wrap it up, I'll take it. Wrap it up, I'll take it.
Come on, T-Birds, give me a couple of more minutes, then we'll wrap it up, okay? First, we got Mara in Coos Bay. Hello, Mara. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Pretty good, thanks.
Good. I am very concerned with this whole Alberto Gonzalez situation, and after yesterday's vote, the framing or the spinning of this situation by the media, it's making me feel like there is a conspiracy with corporations controlling it. When I keep hearing how the Republicans, they blocked it. Well, back when the Democratic Party was in the minority, that was called filibustering.
Well, no, not quite, okay? You're in the same arena. It involves what is called the cloture rule,
right,
in the Senate. And it requires 60 votes to end debate,
right,
in order to then move on to an actual vote on the measure at hand.
Right.
Okay. And what is missing here is that the Republicans didn't have to filibuster because they had enough votes to keep it short of 60. If they thought that the other side had 60 votes, you would have seen Trent Lott and Mitch McConnell up there reading the newspaper, the phone book, or the internets, or even the menu from McDonald's
right,
to fill up time. But they didn't have to do that because the other side didn't have enough votes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I guess I was. It just seemed to me that was just using another parliamentary procedure to stop the process when they had enough votes to actually go ahead and do a no confidence vote if it ever got there.
Well,
you know, they had enough Republicans supporting.
Right. They had a bare majority. They had 53
right,
total senators supporting it.
And three of our Democratic presidential candidates weren't even there to vote.
Right.
So that's a little disappointing. But,
yeah,
I mean, that would have given us a little bit closer to 60.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm not sure who we could have flipped. But I'm very disappointed with how this whole thing has worked out. And I guess I want more people to be aware of it and maybe, you know, keep the pressure on to get that man out of there.
Let me ask you this, Mara. Have you weighed in with your Senator Smith, Gordon Smith?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, Smith did vote for cloture.
Oh, he did?
He did, which is surprising. And I called yesterday. Today I called Harry Reid's office because he's the leader. I encourage everybody to call their senators. And I knew Wyden was on my side. But But Smith, they wouldn't give me an answer, and it was even an hour before the vote. So, you know, they like to talk a lot, too. Be careful when you call Smith's office, because their staffers really like to debate with you.
So. Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I've been on the phone with them for 20, 30 minutes sometimes. So.
Next time I'm rabble-rousing the Hill, I'll make sure to include them on my list.
Definitely. And Smith, he's up for re-election, so he's you know, tending to vote more with the will of the people. So.
And Oregon does have a progressive history, and I hope that I don't really want to see him stay in, but as long as he's running for re-election and it modulates his votes, that's a good
thing. Fine with me.
Yeah. Thank you, Mara. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, listening on KBBR in Coos Bay. Now to Harvey in Eureka, listening on KGOE. Hello, Harvey.
Yes, I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth on the. You know, you were talking about where the dividing line between the conservative and
the rest of us.
Yeah, huh? And you moved the line over. Well, you see, I'm 77 years old, and I've been a news junkie all my life. So when I was when I was a teenager, or even before that. The middle of the road was the liberal, and the extreme left was the communists and the socialists and the anarchists, and there was a lot to the left of the liberal. And I remember Governor Landon of Kansas,
Alf Landon.
Yeah, Alfred E. Landon, I think it was.
Yeah.
Running for president on the Republican ticket in 1936 said, he said, how was it? I can be a liberal, but I don't have to be a spendthrift, something of that order.
Mm-hmm.
He said he identifies himself as a liberal.
Yeah.
So you can see that the center has migrated a great deal more than this man was saying before.
Well, remember extinct species like the Rockefeller Percy Republican, the Weicker Republican. That's all part of our history now. Harvey, I'm out of time here, but thanks for your call today.
Oh, sure.
My pleasure. We're going to be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station, with another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Hope you can handle it. Talk to you then.
Happy. Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush is not giving up on the immigration bill.
The time is now to move a comprehensive piece of legislation. The White House will stay engaged.
Just back from Europe, he made a very public effort today to get the derailed bill back on track. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Lawyers for the North Carolina State...
President Bush used a rare lunch visit with Republican senators to argue that the immigration bill he and most Democrats support is right for the country and they should help pass it.
I believe without the bill, it's going to be harder to enforce the border. The status quo is unacceptable.
Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell said he wasn't sure if the president changed any minds.
It's a good give and take. We didn't expect anybody to stand up and holler that they had an epiphany.
Democratic leader Harry Reid says Republicans blocked this bill and he'll only bring it back to the Senate when they come up with the votes to ensure that won't happen again. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
He led the charge against three Duke University lacrosse players, accusing them of raping a stripper at a team party. The case collapsed, and now the Durham, North Carolina district attorney is on trial, accused of misconduct. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula is covering the hearings that open today.
Lawyers for the North Carolina State Bar are laying out their case against Mike Nifong. He stands to lose his law license for his handling of the Duke lacrosse rape case. The lead police investigator testified that Nifong was railing against the Duke lacrosse team in public, while privately he was being told there were huge holes in the accuser's story. The state attorney general ended up dropping the charges earlier this year. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Again today, major flight delays and cancellations in the east. Severe thunderstorms are the problem. CBS's Harvey Nagler got stuck at New York's LaGuardia Airport.
I've been waiting since 12:45 this afternoon to take the 45-minute flight down to Washington. And unfortunately, every single flight has been canceled.
He finally gave up and went home. The New York airport's got the worst of it with delays up to 4 hours. Animal rights activists get support from science. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the latest advice on substance testing.
Use technology, not lab rats. A major report from the scientists at the National Academy says,
with the new approach, we can greatly reduce the number of animals involved in testing, reduce the cost of testing, the time.